Today is the 26th day. Less than 2 months till Christmas now, folks. Amen. Less than 2 months till Christmas. The 26th day of October 2025. I hope that you will get signed up for the Hickory Bridge. All right, go to our Sunday school webpage. You can sign up there to attend the banquet. You can order your tickets and everything there. But today, we are looking at part number two of our final lesson in this series of lessons from the book of Nehemiah, entitled Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And today, last Sunday, we began there in Nehemiah chapter number 12, and the title of the lesson is Compromising Again. You know, after all that God had done for them, they found themselves compromising again. And there in chapter 12, we reviewed the dedication of the walls. We saw the leaders that were first seen, the ceremony. We saw all of that last week. We got down with the completion of the walls. And I reminded you last week about how good that God had been to them. But today I want to look here at chapter number 13. And this section in your bulletin is is entitled The Separation of the People. Now you'll remember Nehemiah had had to go back to the king. And he had left Jerusalem. And he had left them under leadership he thought was going to take care of things. But some things happened while he was gone. And in Nehemiah's absence, the people quickly lapsed back into their old sinful ways. You know what? That's what happens when there is no good spiritual leader. We've seen that in our nation, how that things have slipped away. We've seen that in homes when there is no leader, somebody to take a stand and say, you know what? We're not going to allow the devil to get the victory in this. And we don't want that, man. We need spiritual leadership at home. And folks, listen to me. This happened with the people of God. And if you don't have good leadership, I thank the Lord for our pastor. He's taken a stand. And a lot of people have fussed at him and written him bad emails and sent bad letters and stuff like that because he takes a stand on the Word of God. He doesn't compromise with that. And I'm thankful that he doesn't compromise. But you know what? What happened here, the people compromised. Leadership compromised in Nehemiah's day. And they slid back into sin. And even while Malachi preached to the people against the sin of backsliding, they still chose not to take heed to the Word of God. And when Nehemiah got back, he was just literally shocked. He was shocked when he returned to the land of Judah and he discovered the people's flagrant disobedience of the Word of God. They chose to disobey. And they had discovered the fact that, you know, they could still go back and do whatever they wanted to do. It was a choice. And folks, we have to be careful with our choices, don't we? We have to choose wisely. And you know what? When we make mistakes, I'm thankful that in the Word of God, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He said this. He said, if we, and he's writing to Christians now, okay? He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to Christians. And he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But verse 9 says, but if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? When we realize we've done some things wrong, when we realize we've not been what we ought to be for God, you know what we've got to do? We've got to simply take the time to go to God and say, God, you know what? Lord, I know I've done wrong. I admit it. And God, I need your wisdom. I need your help to not do this again. It's kind of like it was with our children. When our children did wrong, and we always could tell when there was something going on because they didn't want to be around us. Your children ever act like that? Okay, they don't want to be around mom or dad or whatever because they know if you find out they've done something wrong, then they're going to be in trouble. So they just avoid us, okay? And I'd go to them and say, well, what's going on? What's, you know, You hadn't been around. You're not saying anything to old dad. Or what's going on here? And then we find out what's going on. And then we deal with it. And then it's forgiven. And as it is with God, it's forgotten. Once it's forgiven, it's forgotten. And you know what? These folks needed to realize God had been good to them. But now they had chosen to go back on God. So we see here how that Nehemiah had to go back and reteach separation from the world and from the paganistic doctrines that they had seen in the nations around them. And if we look here in chapter 13, let me go back here. In Nehemiah chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1. Let's begin in verse number 1. All right. The Bible said here, on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam. You remember Balaam the prophet? Okay. And his burrow. Okay. I call that the first better business burrow ever listed, all right, in the Bible. And he got Balaam straightened out with God, did he not? All right. But if that thing had talked to me, I'd have been on my knees, but I'm going to tell you. But they hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. However, our God, and listen to this, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass that when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. What had happened? They had allowed the Ammonites and the Moabites to come in to the temple of God. And these folks worshiped pagan idols. And they brought that mess in with them. And it infiltrated the people of God. And folks, that's why, listen, somebody fussed at me one day and they said, I thought you was a preacher. You're supposed to love everybody. I do. But you know what? A preacher not only has to love everybody, but he has to protect his flock. Absolutely. And sometimes you gotta take the stick after the wolves, okay? And make sure the wolves don't come in and destroy the flock. Our pastors had to do that several times. And folks, listen, that's what Nehemiah ended up having to do. God had told the Jews not to have any dealings with these wicked pagan people. Throughout all the Old Testament scriptures, he said, don't get associated with them. Stay away from them. They're going to teach you bad things. You're going to learn bad doctrine. And now Nehemiah had to go back and warn them again of their sin. And he took action with the people of Israel to get them to separate from all the mixed multitude. You know what? Though one day, the Antichrist is going to have a one-world religious entity, okay? We see that happening today. I've seen where this new pope, okay? And even the one before him, I think, had gathered all these people from all these different religions and everything and said, we're all God's children. You know, there are many ways to get to heaven. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. I had a man this week came and sat in my office, and he brought a whole list of questions and things he had. And he began out in the Catholic Church, and he got all fed up with all the hypocrisy. He said, we were Irish Catholic. And he said, when I went to the, they had a building there. They had a gymnasium on one end of it where all the young people came in and played ball and had a good time and things like that. And then on the other end, they had like a place where you could eat and associate yourselves. And he said, I went in there one day and I saw my priest with his collar pulled off, drinking a beer, smoking a cigar, playing poker, and cussing like a sailor. And he said, I just got fed up with it all. And he said, I just don't know what to do. He said, I thought I was going to just, I've just become an atheist. And he said, no, really right now, I'm kind of like an agnostic. I just don't know what to believe. I said, well, let me tell you what your problem is. And he said, what is it? I said, you're more interested in religion than you are in relationship. Religion will not get you to heaven. Listen, folks, going to church on Sunday won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in the garage will make you a car. It's just not going to happen. Jesus said, you must be born again. Accept a man, be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And as I sat down and explained this to this man, he said, yeah, I'm beginning to see stuff like that. Now, he didn't get saved. He said he was saved. He got saved at 14, but then he got tied into all this other stuff, and he just got disgusted with religion. And folks, that's what religion does. What we need is a personal relationship with God, and that only comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nehemiah, one of these people, listen, don't get mixed up with this other religious stuff. We got a church downtown here. Big sign plastered on their window. The church for the non-religious. Okay? Church for the non-religious. I don't know what that means exactly. But folks, this mixed multitude turned their hearts away from living for God. And that's what we've got to be careful to avoid today. Listen, Nehemiah urged separation from compromise. Okay? Separation from compromise. I told this man, he said, well, I've been visiting around different places. I'm just trying to find the right answer. And I said, right here is where you're going to find the answer that you're looking for. And everything I gave to him when I met with him, I tried to give him scripture and show him what thus saith the Lord. He sat in here for a long time. And you know what? That's what Nehemiah had to do. Nehemiah took the people back and he gave them what thus saith the Lord. And folks, listen. Nehemiah's heart was broken. His heart was broken because these folks had forsaken now the promises that they made unto God. They forsook those promises. They turned away from it. And then the bad thing was they found that Eliashib, okay, he was the high priest. Eliashib had allied with Tobiah. Now, you remember Tobiah, the Ammonite? You remember that? He was the one that was mocking them and said, oh, if a fox goes up against the walls, the fox is going to knock down their walls, and just made fun of them. And you know what? Their leader had joined up with that crowd. And listen, he was the known enemy of God. He hated the people of God and hated the work that they were doing. And if you go back in Nehemiah chapter 2 and Nehemiah chapter 4 and Nehemiah chapter 6, you're going to see where Tobiah was one of the ones that just mocked and made fun of all that they were trying to do for God. Folks, you need to learn to stay away from folks like that. Listen, turn over to the book of Romans just a moment. Romans chapter number 16. This verse just comes to my mind. And I want you to see this just a moment. I want to quote it correctly to you. Romans chapter 16. And I want you to look at verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, now I beseech you, brethren. He's writing to the brethren. He's writing to the Christians. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And what should you do? Avoid them. Stay away from them. Look at what verse 18 said. Here's why. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches, what do? They deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive folks. Is that not what Satan did in the very beginning at the Garden of Eden? He came in and he tried to deceive Eve into disobeying God. And folks, the devil is very subtle about how he does things. But if you know what the Word of God says, and you got somebody that comes back and they start questioning the Word of God, and they start saying, oh, that's not really what God really meant, and all this stuff, you need to avoid it. Show them the truth and enlighten them. If they all accept the truth, you gain a brother or a sister. But if they won't accept truth of the Word of God, you need to be careful. And you need to avoid that crowd, because they will deceive you into disobeying and compromising the Word of God. That's where a lot of this new "it's all right to drink" doctrine comes in. Because all these new Bibles now, this ESV Bible that's out, and all these others that they've revised and changed around, they take all those things out. And they even teach in those scriptures that at the wedding, at the marriage, at that marriage feast in Cana, when Jesus came and they came and said, hey, we're out of wine to drink, we're out of the juice to drink. And Jesus took water and turned it into what they called wine. Wine, that word wine was used either as a bad thing or as the fruit of the vine. And you've got to read it in context to be able to see which one it was. And the Bible teaches that Jesus did not make alcoholic beverage. He did not do that. Because had he done that, then he would have avoided what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 20, where it said, wine is a mocker and strong drinking is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He would have avoided everything. And then he couldn't be my Savior. If I didn't have a Savior, I'd still be lost. If I'm still lost, I'm on my way to a devil's hell, and I have nothing to preach about today. But Jesus was not an alcoholic winemaker, folks. These other Bibles and stuff, they cause doubt, they cause division, and they change the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, into a lie. And that's why we just stay with the King James Bible. It's not changed in all these years, and we don't want to change it. Nehemiah had to go back in there and reteach these people and show them the problems of compromise. And he told me, he said, you need to separate from this stuff. And when Nehemiah learned of all this evil, okay, that had been performed by the priests, look at verses 8 and 9. Nehemiah chapter 13. He said, and it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. They had taken what belonged to God and had given it to those who hated God. Now, folks, that's sad. That's sad. But that's what happened when there was not leadership. Good spiritual leadership. That's what happened. Now, I want you to look at this. Part number C. We see here the separation purged from worldly materialism. One of the worst things in this world sometimes are the blessings that we receive from God. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but you know what ends up happening? We end up being more thankful for the blessings than we are for the blesser who gives those blessings. We boast and we pride ourselves in what we have instead of trusting the God who gives us all that we have. And these folks got used to having blessings. Folks, never get used to that. Man, God has been good to us. We have a church, a ministry here we need to be thankful for today. And you know what? Many people in Nehemiah's day probably thought the same thing here. But I want you to look in verses 10 through 12. Let's read it together. 10 through 12. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his own field. They then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them all together and set them in their place. He set them in their place. He told them the facts. He said, this is what God's word says you ought to be doing. Verse 12, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made the treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to him was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. And then Nehemiah writes, he said, remember me, O God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. He said, this is what he's saying. He said, dear God, remember me, because I'm about to kill these folks. I'm about to get rid of them because they've just disobeyed the word of God. He was upset with these people because they had stolen from the people of God and given unto the pagans. And in those days, I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. What's he saying? They were supposed to take the Lord's day and honor God. And instead, they made the Lord's day a business day. They were continuing to do everything. I remember as a boy, my dad always having to take the car and fill up the car on Saturday because the gas stations were closed on Sunday. Restaurants were closed on Sunday. When you went to the drugstore, you couldn't buy but certain things, even at the drugstore, medicines and things like that, if you were sick and had to get it. And nothing else could you buy because of the what they call the blue laws. They honored the day of the Lord. This was the Lord's day. Folks are out mowing their yards. They go out and they just do whatever they want. Well, I've worked 6 days. God said I was supposed to work 6 days. And this is the only day I've got left to do what I need to do around my house. So I don't go to church. Folks, it's the Lord's day. And Nehemiah said you need to honor the Lord. It's His day. You need to honor it. Now, then they did it on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. But the New Testament church honors the Lord on the first day of the week. God is no longer the last thing. He's supposed to be the first thing that we do during the week. We give back unto the Lord. We think about what God has done for us. We spend that time in the Word of God, in the house of God. And that's what Nehemiah was trying to remind them. You need to get away from all this stuff. Listen, Chick-fil-A is a great example. Chick-fil-A, bless their hearts, they still stay closed on Sunday. And they make more profit than all the other guys put together. And they work 7 days a week all the way up into the morning hours. Why? I truly believe it's because they've honored the Lord. And they give their people a day off to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. God still blesses when you honor Him and you put Him first. And I think this is why Malachi wrote. And you look here in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God said, in tithes and in offerings. You know what folks do? They take it and they invest their monies in a new boat. I never will forget, my son asked me why we couldn't get a boat. And I said, well, son, when would we have time to do that? Take a boat out on the lake. Well, Dad, we could do that on the weekends. He said, the neighbor does it. They take it out every weekend. They go fishing. And he brings back a bunch of fish. I said, okay. Then I said, I'll tell you what. Then I'll talk to the pastor and I'll just resign from being, associate pastor. And I won't teach junior church anymore. I won't run the bus on Sunday morning, pick up people and take them to church. And I won't teach the teens on Sunday for preaching service. And I said, yeah, then we can get a boat and we can enjoy it. He said, no, Dad, just never mind. Never mind. But you know what he realized? We'd have to stop doing what we were doing for God. And folks, we just need to look at it in a new light today. Don't compromise. Listen, in verses 23 through 31, Nehemiah preached about separation from godless intermarriage. And let me say this today. I've talked to folks. I've counseled with people about marriage. And I've talked to them, and one will come back and say, well, I really want to marry her, but she doesn't really want to come to church with me. She doesn't want to live for the Lord for me. I've counseled young ladies that said, listen, he's a good man. He's a good man. He got a good job, and we could have a family, and I really do love him. But he's not real hip on Bible stuff, and you know, he's not real hip on coming to church on Sunday with me. And he's told me if I want to go, that's fine, but he didn't really want to go. You know what? That's what we call, the Bible calls being unequally yoked together. And you know what it is? Let me draw you a picture here, okay? This is one person going this way, and this is another person going this way, and all they do is do this all the time, okay? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? That's what the Old Testament scripture asks. And you know what? This intermarriage, they were married because they were good looking. Oh, big strong guys, man, they were strong. Do they worship the Lord? No, they don't believe in God. They got a little idol out behind their house. And Nehemiah said, no. God has said don't intermarry with them because they will turn you away from the true and living God. And that's why Nehemiah had to get on to them. In verses 26 and 27, he boldly confronted their arrogant attitudes about marriage. And when he discovered that the high priest's grandson had actually married Sanballat, the Horonite's daughter, okay? Again, Sanballat and Tobiah were the ones that were mocking God. Chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 6 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah just, man, the Bible said here in verse 28, he said, I chased him from me. He said, I ran him out of town. They didn't belong there because they were only spreading discord. Folks, we've seen in this book of Nehemiah, and I've got to hurry, but it is so important that God's people have the right spiritual leader. You know what? Because as Isaiah wrote, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And you know what? That's what happens when you don't have leadership. The book of Judges said, when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know what? We need spiritual leadership. And it begins with us. Individually. Now you know what? I want to be a good spiritual leader. I want you, one day, when I'm dead and I'm gone, to say, you know what? He taught me the Word of God. He scolded me when I did wrong, but he still loved me. And he showed me from God's Word what I ought to be doing. You know what? Listen, I want to be a help to you. Pastor Belcher wants to be a help. He's not the bad guy if he tells you that you're doing something wrong. Why do we tell our children when they're doing something wrong? Because we love them enough to do that. We want them on the right path. We want them on the right way of life. And we have to be that spiritual leader that God wants us to be. Nehemiah was that kind of a man. He wasn't afraid of danger. He was wise in his plans. He made good assessments, and he was careful in each of his decisions regarding the work of God. And folks, that's where we have to be today. We have to think this thing through and ask ourselves, listen, dear Lord, what would you have me to do? And if any of you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, God does not get upset when you ask for wisdom. He's ready to give it if you're just willing to get it. So let's be the spiritual leaders we need to be today. Amen. Let's don't find ourselves compromising Let's stand. Let's find ourselves standing. Somebody sent me a little note the other day, wanting to find out which way I leaned in the political world. And you know what I told them? They said, we lean to the left a little bit because the right is just too hard. Which way do you lean, left or right? I said, I don't lean left. I don't lean right. I stand upon the Word of God. We need to stop leaning and we need to start standing. Amen? And let's stand upon the Word of God. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord God, thank you for this series of lessons that we've had to teach us, God, to be the leaders that we ought to be. Lord, I pray, God, today that these lessons have been a help to your people. And I pray, God, that you will help us not to lean left, not to lean right, but to stand upon the foundation of the Word of God, to stand in the armor of God, to put on the whole armor of God so that we're not deceived by the wicked one. Help us, dear God, to be the leaders that we ought to be for the sakes of those coming up in this next generation and for the sakes of the ones right here today. God, help us to be what you'd have us to be. And Father, we'll thank you for that. Please, Lord, be with our pastor this morning as he stands to preach. Give him power and boldness to say what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here. Remember, no Sunday school. Next Sunday, we'll be in there. And then when we come back the second Sunday, we'll have a new lesson series, okay? God bless.